Right. Thank you very much, Anele. Good morning to all honorable members and colleagues. Today we'll be receiving two briefings. The first briefing will be by the Department of Higher Education and Training on the fourth quarter performance report 2022-2023. The second briefing we will receive is by the DSI on their fourth quarter performance report 2022-2023. And then we'll consider minutes from the 17th and the 19th of May. We look forward to receiving these reports. I honestly think, Minister, and welcome to the meeting this morning. It's good to have you here. I honestly think that, it's been great to see how through these engagements, be it the engagements on the quarterly reports, be it the engagements on the performance report, how really in these last APPs we've been able to see a lot of what the committee suggests come through. Many of the recommendations that the committee suggests come through. It's unfortunate you were not able to be with us when we were engaging on the annual performance plans, but I really hope that your colleagues, I hope between the DG, Sishi, because he came, I think DG Mdraha was not available, but DG Sishi was there for to present both, well, to present the department's annual performance plans and to also guide and support the entities when they presented their performance plans. And then DG Mdraka actually did join us, I think, on one of the days on the virtual platform. And so in essence, I hope that colleagues did share with you some of the reflections we made. And one of the greatest reflections we made when we were engaging with DHET is that really we see ourselves in the plans of the department in terms of the articulation. And I think there are members who alluded to this in their speeches during the debate, that the department, we see ourselves in the department. When the department speaks about expansion, when the department speaks about greater coordination of resources, or just in general, greater coordination between various programs of the department, and we get inspired, we get encouraged to continue to do our work as members of parliament. So really, we and generally in other targets that we've looked at. Under DHET, we are seeing some of the recommendations that have come from moments like this when we're dealing with the quarterly report, that have come from the engagements that we've had during the BRRR process. So it is encouraging, Minister, to see these recommendations of the committee come forth in the planning of both departments and even the DSI. Issues around transformation have been critical and key for the committee. Issues around inclusion, making sure that we don't leave TVETs out, making sure that we don't leave rural communities out, making sure that we're intentional about planning for women, for persons living with disabilities. We have seen that come through. So colleagues, this exercise around the departments coming and reporting to us on a quarterly basis, reporting to us annually is very important in shaping the plans of the department. And I just thought I'd make that reflection now. So we look forward to the reports that you will share with us today, colleagues from both departments, and we look forward to the recommendations and reflections that will come from members. So I'd like to, at this point, hand over to the minister to make his opening remarks. Your apology is duly noted. We just would have to make sure that colleagues from both departments give the minister the necessary notes so that in his closing remarks, he's updated on how our discussions went. So I'd like to, at this point, hand over to the minister for his opening remarks, and then he will lead us. To he will allocate his two teams to present the reports to us. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. am going to request that now that you have seen me, that it's me, it's not a ghost. I've closed my video so that my network is more stable. It's a great pleasure to me to present once again the two departments' performance focusing on the fourth quarter, which is what we are talking to today. And the acting DG of the Department of Education and Training, Ms. Thembisa Skwitane, the DGs abroad, DGCE, and Dijim Joha, who is here, will actually give the details. I just want to make some background remarks. let me start by talking very briefly about DSI first. Over the medium term, our Department of Science and Innovation program supported five of the outcomes that were identified in the department's 2020 to 2025 strategic plan. Namely, one, a transformed, inclusive, and responsive and coherent national system of innovation. Two, human capabilities and skills for the economy and for development. Number three, increased knowledge generation and innovation output. Four, knowledge utilization for economic development in revitalizing existing industries and stimulating research and development-led industrial development. And lastly, knowledge utilization for inclusive development. Honorable members, I want to say that in the 2022-23 financial year, we undertook initiatives to ensure that flagship projects that profile South Africa's NSI capabilities include non-traditional national system of innovation participants and extend to areas that have been previously marginalized. We're very proud of this. It's a very important contribution so that it's in terms of our own philosophy. Science or scientific inventions, as well as innovation, are often found everywhere, including at grassroots level. We've also provided support for the development of critical high-end skills in the bioeconomy, space science and technology, energy, intellectual property, nanotechnology, robotics, photonics, and areas of technology convergence that are important in building a knowledge society. Largely, I have managed to do this because I have also engaged the CETAs and instructed them that much as we know that their primary focus is mid-level skills, but they do now need to support high-end STI-linked skills. There's an initiative I took when these two departments were assigned to one ministry. This was done in the form of specialized training interventions and graduate and postgraduate support. This will also include the development of technical and artisan skills to support the deployment of newly developed innovations, as well as technology dissemination. Work to promote technology development and the protection and utilization of publicly funded intellectual property for innovation, with socioeconomic impact being continued. The National Intellectual Property Management Office, NIPMO, established as the implementing agency for the Intellectual Property Act, has a mandate to ensure that intellectual property from publicly funded research and development is identified, protected, utilized, and commercialized for the benefit of the people of South Africa as a whole. Investments geared towards supporting the translation of publicly financed intellectual property into social and economic value was also made in the last financial year. Through NIPMO, sorry, a database of disclosures of publicly financed IP was used as a basis for tracking the utilization of IP through the conclusion of commercial agreements and the introduction of products and services to the public. I also do need to say, honorable members, that we have also pursued international partnerships that strengthen the national system of innovation and enable the exchange of knowledge, capacity, innovation, and resources between South Africa and its international partners, particularly in Africa, in support of South African foreign policy through science, knowledge, and innovation diplomacy. That's why I've been hoping that this portfolio committee will also undertake some visits outside the country, because also that would have been an opportunity to engage in some of the platforms and some of the institutions that we engage with internationally, so that you are able to better inform yourselves. To illustrate our commitment to these objectives that I've outlined, today, as the department, we are hosting the IST Africa Conference, which brings together senior representatives from leading public, private education, and research organizations to discuss ICT policy, showcase research results, and share knowledge. It's one of the most important platforms for digital economy as science and digitization on the African continent. That's why then I had requested that I be released at around 25 past, as I am opening this very important gathering in our country. It's the 18th such conference that is being held here, and this time it's being hosted by South Africa. And the focus of the conference this year is on increasing importance of digital technologies in the public service and in work generally and in citizens' daily lives, especially post-COVID-19. And also the conference aims to assess how digital solutions can boost economies, enable infrastructure development, support SME development, and underpin youth development and health service delivery, amongst others. Honorable members, over the medium term, our Department of Science and Innovation will directly and indirectly support all 9 of the department's outcomes as identified in the 2020 to 2025 strategic plan. We have also used our international cooperation opportunities to advance the transformation of the national system of innovation, including the promotion of international partnerships to increase knowledge production and knowledge utilization, especially in the context of the focus on STI and sustainable development goals. As a department, we'll also pursue and share our learning on initiatives supporting Agenda 2063 of the AU, as well as SADC Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan. I'm also still committed, which also is going to come across here, to actually develop a more science-aware citizenry, including the important issue of science literacy in society. Also committed to upgrade and expand our research infrastructure, including cyber infrastructure, through, for example, the establishment of a National Research Infrastructure Fund at the National Treasury. The DSI will also be working closely with the South African Radio Astronomy Observatory and the Northern Cape government to ensure socioeconomic benefits for communities that are near astronomy infrastructure like the SKA, and to enhance public awareness of the project and the opportunities it presents. As South Africa, I'm happy to say we are also participating now actively in the work packages in the construction of the SKA Phase 1, which is underway now. The department will harness the potential of big data to realize economic, social, scientific, and industrial benefits for South Africa. To address the high unemployment rate, especially among the youth, the department, through the Human Sciences Research Council, has been implementing the DSI internship program. And as part of our human development processes, in particular, the development of emerging researchers. In the previous financial year, we implemented our new postgraduate funding policy that provides a comprehensive full cost of study support to the children of the working class and the poor, to students with disabilities, as well as exceptional academic achievers. Further to this, we are going to be continuing with the South African Women in Science Awards as well as the South African Research Chairs Initiative. I'm pleased to say DSI overall has achieved 82% of its annual targets, with 18% not being achieved. And in the presentations, my officials will indicate why we have not achieved the 18% and what we intend to. Honorable members, I'm also happy that in relation to the Department of Higher Education and Training, our overall spending reached 99.7% of the budget appropriated to the department by the end of the fourth quarter. We are indeed spending the monies assigned by the Treasury to us to pursue our own objectives. I'm very pleased to say that. University education remained the biggest spending program at an amount of 88.819 billion rand, which includes 45 billion rand that was transferred to NSFAS. We also received an amount of 20 billion rands, just over 20 billion rands from the skills levy collections, of which 16.647 billion was transferred to the CETAS and 4.162 billion into the National Skills Fund to support various skills development initiatives. As we point out in our APP, I do want to significantly upscale NSF spending on our priorities, including priorities like digitization and artisan training, amongst other things. This is an important milestone, this spending, for our expansion drive, as it reflects our efforts towards ensuring access to education and training opportunities for our youth and adults. Those who say, for whatever reasons, that we are not spending the resources in order to expand access, they will merely be politicking. I'm very proud of what we are actually achieving in this regard. In the 2021 academic year, for instance, a total of 826,084 eligible students at both universities and TVET colleges were funded through NSFAS. And we are currently finalizing the annual report for 2022-23 and will in due time provide latest figures on student bursaries for the 2022 academic year. I'm also pleased that, by the way, I also further expect improvement for the 2022-2023 figures. I'm also pleased to indicate that the feasibility studies of the two new universities, the University of Science and Innovation in Ekurhuleni and the University of Crime Detection in Hammanskraal, have been completed. And as indicated during my budget vote speech, the department will be finalizing the construction designs as we also take this report to cabinet for discussion and consideration. To date, the DHET has invested over 3.7 billion rand for the maintenance and repairs of TVET College's infrastructure through our capital infrastructure and efficiency grant. In addition to maintenance and repairs, this infrastructure and efficiency grant is also used for upgrading the information technology infrastructure in our institutions. Maintenance has been prioritized over the medium term to ensure that the backlog is reduced before new capital expansion programs are implemented. In addition to the prioritization of the maintenance and repairs, the department has also made special capital allocations to 11 identified TVET colleges. Honorable Chair and honorable members, during the quarter under review, the department has also achieved a few more targets. For example, in the last quarter, we improved access, success, and quality of provisioning in the PCSET system. This includes the following. I'm proud that we have created 87 new posts for the new generation of academic programs, and they've been filled by the university. 40 scholarships or internship positions were allocated to universities through the Nurturing Emerging Scholars Program. 55% of university lecturers now hold doctoral degrees. A huge achievement from where we come from the criminality of the apartheid regime that actually only funded white universities in the past and even allowed things like people with degrees or just honors degrees to be lecturers in our universities. This is a huge, huge achievement that we are very proud of, honorable members. And it's correcting the Fairvoodian injustice that still continues to host to haunt us in many respects. 4,581 students were placed in pre-vocational learning program to improve success in TVET colleges. Again, we are dealing with a legacy problem here. But I'm pleased that at least we are having a bridging program, because a number of our students are unable to access TVET colleges, for instance, because they don't have the necessary minimum knowledge of mathematics in particular. In this current financial year, we'll continue to cover a number of things, and I'm not going to mention them because they are in our APP, honorable members. For instance, just by way of example, we'll be releasing half a billion rands through the National Skills Fund over 2 years to train in excess of 15,000 beneficiaries in different small business management skills, working with the Small Enterprise Development Agency, amongst others, because one of the key areas of the ERRP is to support small business in that sector. And also, we will find more creative solutions for meeting the needs of 3.8 million young people who are needs and increase opportunities for them. With that, then, honorable members, I will then request, with your permission, Chair, that Dr. Philim Joaha, our DG for DSI, and acting DHET DG in terms of China and senior management, give you the details. As I've said, I'm hoping to be back by no later than 11 o'clock, as you allow me now to go and open this very important conference being held in our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Did it, Chifuchan?
Good morning, and thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to our Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, Dijim Joaha, who is present, the Honorable Members of Parliament of the Portfolio Committee that are present here today, the DDGs from both DSI and the Department of Higher Education and Training. I will just briefly show my video, which, with your permission, Honorable Chair, if I can just switch it off, because connectivity is a bit of a problem. Thank you very much. Honorable Chair, we appreciate this opportunity to be given to present on the fourth quarter performance of DHET. Thank you very much for that. Honorable Chair, I'm going to be very brief because the Honorable Minister has more than adequately given an overview and a strategic overview in terms of the fourth quarter performance of DHET. I will be requesting the Chief Director for Strategic Planning, Mr. Mgiba, to give the detailed presentation. And our CFO, Ms. Makukule, will then cover the finances. Important to note, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that when they do give this presentation, we are pleased as DHET that there is an improvement in the fourth quarter performance. And we are also particularly pleased that, as you will see in the presentation, which will be done by the CFO, that in terms of expenditure, the fourth quarter, how we have spent is relatively low compared to the other quarters. And this is a clear indication that there is no fiscal dumping in terms of the finances and operations of the department in the last quarter of the financial year, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. With that, Honorable Chair, please allow me to hand over to Mr. Mgiba to then give the presentation. Honorable Chair, let me close off by indicating that we appreciate the encouraging comments that have been made by the Honorable Chair. And as the department, we always strive to make sure that we meet the commitments that we are making in terms of our APP and the targets that we set. Also noting that Whilst we present on these targets and the APPs, there's also a lot of work that is not necessarily included, particularly on the operational side, that the department continues to do and strive and show an improvement in terms of the work that we are doing. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and over to Mr. Mkiba.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. A very good morning to the Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, the DG of DSI and the DDGs present here, colleagues that are part of the meeting. Chair, as I present this, I want to switch off my video, if you allow, so that I also don't suffer from connectivity challenges to save the bandwidth. Chair, in terms of the presentation, this is how we plan to share with you the presentation. We are going to take you through the vision and mission. Briefly, the five-year strategic plan outcomes, the performance trends from first quarter to the fourth quarter, and specifically look into the targets that were due for completion in the fourth quarter and reflect on those that were not achieved. And then lastly, the financial performance, which the CFO will take the committee through. Briefly, Chair, in terms of the vision and mission, is as it appears here, I'm not going to go through it. I think we have always been making sure that we remind the committee of what we seek to do in the medium to long term, but also reflect on, in terms of our mission, the areas of focus, particularly in respect to development of steering mechanisms to the sector, the oversight work that we do in terms of monitoring and evaluation, and the support that we give in relation to teaching and learning, and above all, the funding that is needed for the sector. This slide also seeks to depict what we aim to achieve in terms of our medium-term strategic framework outcomes. Honorable members are aware that the department has identified four key outcomes, one being expansion of access to PSET opportunities, improving success and efficiency, improving quality of provisioning within the PSET institutions, and lastly, ensuring that the sector is responsive. And all of these are really meant to ensure that we increase participation of our youth in respect to the opportunities given through our institutions of higher learning, but also ensuring that as we inject funding into the system, there's optimal use of resources within the system, and our ability also to address any deficiencies in respect to that. Just briefly, Chair, highlights in respect to these outcomes, and I think the Minister has touched on some of this, particularly in respect to expansion. I'm glad to indicate that, Chair, as we inject funding into the system, the system is able to reciprocate, and we see that through enrollments that are taking place in our universities, our TVET colleges, and SCET colleges. And as Minister indicated as well, this is also reflective in respect to the funding that gets to be given through bazaaries, NSFAS bazaaries, which to date, in terms of the 2021 academic year, 826 1,084 eligible students in both universities and TVET colleges were funded. Minister did talk about the feasibility studies that have been completed. I'm not going to talk on that. But in respect to improving success, Chair, it is really fulfilling to see that for the 2021 academic year, there were 233,257 graduates that were produced through our public universities. We are, as we finalize the annual report, consolidating information for the 2022 academic year, which will be presented as preliminary in this respect. Also, in respect to artisanal development, 19,536 learners were completed artisanal learning programs in the 2021-2022. We will be sharing with the committee later in the year once we have concluded on information that relates to the 2022-2023 financial year. In terms of improving quality, Minister spoke about our university capacity development program. I'm not going to touch on this. Suffice to indicate that we are really making significant progress in as far as the NGAP and other programs that Minister has touched on. Just a bit of a correction, Chair and Honorable Members. The proportion of lecturers that hold PhDs is currently at 48%. I think there was a typo in the version that was forwarded to yourselves. It's not 55, it's actually 48%. Our sincere apologies to that. Then lastly, the responsiveness and the improvement that we have seen in as far as program provisioning within the CET college sector, which have seen additional occupational skills programs that have been introduced in CET colleges in collaboration with CITAS. And most importantly, the fact that the 6%, which is 1,419 of the learners enrolled in occupational skills programs are actually from the NEET group. In terms of the trends, performance trends from the first to the last quarter, which is the quarter under review, you will see in terms of this slide that the performance over the quarters has been increasing. As the acting DG indicated, that the fourth quarter has seen a 12% improvement as compared to the third quarter and the previous quarters. 42 of the 74 targets during the quarter under review were achieved. It's an improvement if you compare this quarter with quarter three, which had 47 targets and 21 targets were achieved in the previous quarter. This slide is a comparison of performance across the budget programs. You will see that most of the targets during the quarter under review were concentrated in program two and followed by program three, program four, five, and lastly, a six. Program one achieved 50% of the six targets during the quarter. 12 of the 23 targets in program two, which is 52%, were achieved. 73% of the 15 targets in program three were achieved, translating into 11 out of 15. Program four, eight of the 13 targets, which is 62%, were achieved. In program five, three of the 11, which is 27%, were achieved. And lastly, 83% of the six targets in program six were achieved, translating to five targets.
Now, in terms of specifics, looking at program one, as I indicated, there were six targets, three were achieved. And these are the targets achieved. 80% of disciplinary cases were resolved within 90 days as planned. The vacancy rate is currently at 9.40%, which is below the targeted 10% as planned. And then lastly, all determination tests in terms of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure were concluded within 12 months. There were targets that were not achieved, Chair, in this program. One relates to the payment of invoices within 30 days. 99.5% of the invoices received during the quarter under review were achieved, were paid within 30 days, Chair, but there were invoices that were not achieved, and those were affected by administrative delays that were apparent during the quarter under review. We are indicating that over the quarters, there are about 19 invoices that were affected. But for the quarter under review, there were four invoices, Chair, that were not paid within 30 days. And the value amount or the rent value of those invoices is 33,976. That affected two suppliers. These were not paid within 30 days because of the administrative delays pertaining to the invoices received. Some of them were not did not have accurate information. They needed to be corrected, and therefore needed to be returned to the creditors. And then the other target that was not achieved is our target on the 40% of public procurement spent on women owned businesses. We were only able to achieve 22.9%, and the reason being lack of enabling preferential procurement legislation. And I'm glad to indicate, Chair, that to date, and going forward, we will be able as a department to report on the procurement that would have been allocated and directed towards women instead of measuring expenditure only, because we now have preferential procurement policy framework regulation that was passed in 2022, but effective in January. And then lastly, in terms of network connectivity, we're targeted 98%. 95% was achieved due to load shedding challenges and SITA outages. In terms of program two, there were 23 targets. As I indicated, only 12 were achieved. 11 were not achieved. In terms of the achievements, the revised RPL coordination policy was gazetted for public comments on the 30th of March, 2023, as planned. The policy on articulation between TVET and universities was also submitted and approved by the minister within the planned time frame. The minister also approved the submission of the NQF amendment bill to Parliament for its consideration. The report on the feasibility study for the establishment of a satellite campus in Ulundi was also approved by the Director General, and the report on the social inclusion as well as gender equality and the GBV policy framework were approved by the Director General. The other oversight reports, the report on the number of people reached through collaborative efforts between DHET and Higher Health was also approved. We also produced statistics report and the PSET monitor report, which are meant really signal to the sector how the sector is performing and the areas that needs improvement, but also areas that need interventions. These reports were approved by the Director General as planned. The policy brief on e-learning open learning strategy, as well as the report on ERRP skill strategy implementation were also approved by the Director General. There were, Chair, targets that were not achieved, and I think there are about 11, as I indicated. Mostly it's oversight reports pertaining to infrastructure development. I'm not going to go through them. Suffice to indicate that these are the targets and reports, Chair, that were supposed to reflect on how we are faring in terms of the implementation of the integrated infrastructure development support program, and because of the capacity challenges that the chief directorate responsible they could not produce these reports. And then I think this slide is also talking to the work that the chief directorate infrastructure ought to have done, and because of capacity challenges, targets could not be realized. In terms of program three, there were 15 targets, 11 of those, which is 73%, were achieved. And I think Minister did speak about the end gap, the scholarships and or internship positions that were allocated to universities through the Nurturing Emerging Scholars Program, the USDP, which is the University Staff Doctoral Program, but also the awards that were given to permanent instructional staff through the Future Professors Program. All the targets in respect to these programs were achieved, as the Minister indicated in his opening remarks. This slide is also reflecting on the achievements in respect to Program 3. In terms of governance and the ability of the universities to meet the standard of good governance, we had targeted 85%. 86% of those were able to meet the standards of good governance. Six universities were supported to develop TVET college articulation implementation plans as planned, and the report on the effective governance of all the universities was also produced and approved by the Director General as planned. Cumulatively, there were eight universities that we had thought we were going to implement the student-focused entrepreneurship development activities. But as at the time of reporting, we then realized that actually more than double of those, up to 20, the universities were able to implement student-focused entrepreneurship development activities. The targets not achieved, it's also oversight reports in respect to UCDP, the University Capacity Development Program, in respect to the compliance of private higher education institutions, the needs analysis report, and lastly, the report on the evaluation of the 2021 research outputs. These could not be achieved, Chair and Honorable Members. Once again, this relates to the capacity within the university branch, which could not enable the branch to produce these reports. Program four, there were 13 targets, and of the 13, eight were achieved. And as at the time of compiling this report, an additional one target that relates to the report on cooperation agreement with Germany on safe set work was subsequently approved, which leads to nine targets that are now achieved. The key targets that we achieved over and above that, Chair, relate to the placement of TVET college students, as pronounced through by the president through SONA last year. We had targeted 10,616 were placed. The number of days that we had committed to release examination results to qualifying students was 40, but we were able to do this and achieve this within 35 days per examination cycle. The number of students enrolled in the pre-vocational learning program to improve success within the TVET college sector, we had targeted enrollment of 4,581 students were enrolled. The instrument that needed to be developed to ensure that we are able to monitor implementation of TVET College Council Code of Conduct has been developed and approved as planned. We had also planned that 8%, there would be 8% increment in terms of student placement in workplaces for experiential learning to 100. This has actually went into, surpassed the target by a whopping 282%. In terms of curricular development to ensure responsiveness, we had targeted 10 subject curricula during the quarter under review, and 11 of those were actually reviewed or revised and approved by the Director General. The areas that were not achieved are as follows. The period it takes to issue certificates, as at the time of preparing the report, the unit responsible for this functional area was still collecting information. Hence, it's reflected as zero there, and no certificates were released during the quarter under review. But as we will see later in the annual report, actually there is work that has been done in as far as issuing of certificates to qualifying candidates is concerned. And by that time, we would be able to come back with the information that will reflect the period that would have been taken to issue certificates. In terms of throughput rates, we are currently sitting at 24.3%. And this relates to the cohort 2019 to 2021. And it's an area that has always been lacking behind, Chair. And in most cases, the reasoning given for the deviation is the impact of COVID 19 and the long stay aways that affected students and also the academic program within the TVET sector during 2020-2021 academic years. The 50 colleges that were planned to implement student-focused entrepreneurship development programs, we had 48 of those implementing student-focused entrepreneurship development programs. The reason of the last two that they could not implement this pertains to the delays in submission of the requisite plans and the project plans in terms of implementation that needed to be approved. The number of protocols signed with industry, only 22 were achieved. 28 colleges did not submit reports and follow-ups have been made and are continuing to be made with the outstanding colleges. In terms of program five, there were 11 targets. Only three of those, which is 27%, were achieved. And that pertained to completion of learnerships. The target was 41,161 completed learnerships. 40 days average lead time from qualifying trade test applications received until trade test is conducted. This has been achieved. This could be done within 33 days. And lastly, as I indicated earlier on, the report on the implementation of the ERRP skill strategy was also developed and approved by the Director General. These are the areas where non-achievement was registered due to the impact of COVID-19. We are making reference to COVID-19 and its impact because we are reporting retrospectively. All the achievements pertain to 2021-2022 financial year. The annual report, as we are preparing it, is going to reflect on preliminary information pertaining to 2022-2023. As you can see, in terms of workplace-based learning programs, in terms of learners registering skills development, in terms of learners entering artisanal programs, those found competent, and those that are registered in and completed skills programs, the achievements as they appear here, from 88% in the first target to 84% in the last target. The percentage of allocated SITA monetary grants paid to employers was not achieved. And this relates to the glitches within the system that is being used, which is meant to collate the information from employers. And this is work that is being done to correct this. But performance remains at 62%. Percentage of SITAs that meet good governance standards, it's sitting at 93% from the planned 95%. The last program, which is program 6, had 5 targets, and of the 5 targets, six targets, 5 were achieved. And these are as follows: the planned programs and qualifications that are offered in CET College, we had planned 2, 7 has been achieved. The report on the implementation of open access learning and teaching support material for students in TVET colleges has been approved by the Director General. The CETCs that meet standards of good governance, the target was 95%. All of them have achieved this target during the quarter under review. 900 lecturers were targeted to be trained, and 938 were trained, surpassing the targeted figure. 100% colleges were targeted to comply with the policy on conduct and management of examinations, and all 9 CET colleges were compliant. One target not achieved relates to the number of pilot community learning centers that needed to be accredited. At the time of reporting, we had targeted 35, and at that time there was no information, but the latest information has shown that only one community learning center was actually accredited of the 35 targeted centers. This is just to cluster the reasons for underperformance during the quarter under review. We noticed that most of the targets were not achieved due to capacity constraints, external factors, process factors, as well as poor planning. And these are this information is currently being used, Chair, to feed into the next planning cycle so that we are able to improve performance going forward. Thank you very much. I think at this stage, through you, the Chair, I will ask the CFO to take the committee through performance in respect to financial information for the fourth quarter.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mgiba, good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, good morning to Minister and Deputy Minister, to our Acting DG, Ms. Fuchani, DG Mtswaga, colleagues in the platform. I will be taking the committee through the financial performance in quarter four, and this slide indicate the department's adjusted budget, which was a final appropriation, as at the end of quarter four, which was the end of the financial year 2022-2023. And we had funding from two sources. I think the minister in his opening remark reminded us of this. Our total budget for the year under review was 130.5 billion rand and 109.7 billion came from voted funds. This is what we normally call fiscus. And 20.8 billion comes from the skills development levy, which is in 1% that is paid by the employers and is collected on our behalf by the South African Revenue Services. And we had six programs in the year under review. This has been the structure of the department for quite some time. I'm sure the members are aware of the structure, and this is how we have allocated the budget as it is reflected on the slide. But also to mention that is that members will remember in the previous periods that the planning policy and strategy branch, which is program two, used to have a very little budget, but it was adjusted upwards because of the infrastructure. Members will remember that the department made a decision to rationalize its infrastructure program to ensure, one, that there are synergies in the system, and two, also to ensure that there is distribution, equitable distribution rather, of resources in our sector. As mentioned earlier by the minister, our university education branch remains, you know, to be the branch that has the largest budget, mainly comprising of the different grants that goes to universities, including the student funding allocation that goes to NSFAS. But we'll talk about the financial performance on that shortly. We can move. Thank you very much. So in terms of the spending, as at end of quarter four, as I said, this was the end of the financial year. Our spending amounted to 130.1 billion rand, which represent a spending rate of 99.7. We have an underspending or remaining budget of 0.3%. In rand value, that amounts to 463 million rand. And those remaining funds or the variance is mainly emanating from unfilled vacancies, but mainly over and above the issue of unfilled vacancies is the issue of implementation of the post-provisioning norms. In TVET colleges, it did not take place as planned. There were some delays. Some of these delays in cases where these were anticipated during the adjustment budget, the department was able to make some recommendation that funding be transferred directly to colleges, those colleges that were not ready to implement the PPN at that point in time. But based on the analysis during the adjustment budget period, we had anticipated that some colleges would be ready to implement. Unfortunately, there were some glitches. And I'm sure most members will be aware that the budget for compensation of employees can only be moved during the midterm adjustment budget. So there was really not much that the department could do, you know, after that period. Hence, we're sitting with this challenge. And we also have some variances, and we'll talk about the numbers shortly. From our operational budget, in some of that were attributed to the delay in procurement. We had some delays last year. One was a delay that was caused by the instruction from National Treasury where departments were instructed to put their procurement activities on hold pending the court decision around the issues of transformation. And secondly, the department embarked on the process of restructuring its bid committees, so that also affected the process, and other tenders had then now to, the processes had to overlap into the new financial year. Also, one of our biggest spending under the operational budget is some claims that come from the colleges, mainly for the examination services. We work on projections, but sometimes, you know, most of these claims normally come in the last quarter of the financial year. So also not all the claims were submitted as projected. And also one of our biggest spending item for the department is travel. And some of the meetings, both domestic and international, where the department is not in control, it's difficult to, you know, determine chairperson whether they will be virtual or physical. And during the last quarter, it was very difficult for us to reprioritize some of our travel budget because of that kind of uncertainties. So that also made contributed to the operational budget variances. So these are the numbers, and this slide, it analyzes the expenditure per program from the six program, but we've unbundled the funding from the skills levy. So we can see the money that was allocated, the actual spending as at the end of the quarter, the variance in terms of the absolute values, and also in terms of the percentage. And what is you know, interesting in this slide is because we are able to see when we analyze the variance per amounts, we see where the biggest portion of the remaining budget emanates from. So the total remaining budget, which is the budget that the funds that will be surrendered back to the National Revenue Fund, is the 462.9 million that we see at the bottom of the second last column. Then when you look at that column, you go up, you see the breakdown of that, and then you can see that majority or maybe the biggest portion of it rather comes from program four, which is the TVET. And this is in correlation to what I've mentioned earlier on, because the PPN implementation happens at TVET colleges. Also, with the vacancies, most of the vacancies are at TVET colleges. Hence, we see program four carrying the biggest weight as far as that variance is concerned. But also what is interesting is when we see the analysis in terms of the percentage, then it suggests that that variance is just less than 3% in relation to the budget of the TVET branch in its entirety. And also, when you look at the analysis on the percentages, you see that the material variance is actually on the administration. And one issue that I forgot to mention in the previous slide is that under administration, one of the reasons, actually one of the main reasons for variances, was that we have set aside some funding for relocation. I'm sure some committee members might be aware of this. We might have mentioned it in our previous reporting, in the previous reporting periods, that the department is planning to relocate. And at some point last year, we were under the impression that we'll relocate before December. And committee members will note that this is a process that has been managed by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And at some point, we were under the impression that we'll relocate during the last quarter, and we had to put funding aside, funding that will have included cost of tenants installation, cost of IT infrastructure, etc. So it was only in the 11th hour where it came to our attention that there were delays and relocation will not happen as anticipated. We are planning to apply for rollover in this regard, and if it succeeds, it will really assist us to utilize this funding for the relocation this financial year. Hopefully it's going to happen.
Petros.
We can move. Can we move? Thank you. So this is the similar analysis, but this time per economic classification. And also we see that the large chunk of the variance come from the COE, which is compensation of employee budget. I think I've explained in detail what has happened, but also of what's interesting here, even though we do acknowledge that the funds to be surrendered are a lot, because when you look at them, it's 463 million, is just less than half a billion. It's a lot of money. But what is also interesting with financial ratio is that the financial ratios are able to give us a better analysis as opposed to absolute numbers, because sometimes absolute figures can give a different assumptions. So when you look at even the spending on compensation of employees, the variance is just less than 4%, and the overall underspending of the department is 0.35%, even less than half a percentage. So we don't take away the fact that it is a lot of money, but looking at it in relation to the department's budget, it is not material, particularly even for compensation of employees itself, because we're noting we've got a budget of a budget of 10.7 billion, which carried approximately 27,000 employees. So the 400 million, though it is a lot, but in terms of the analysis, in terms of percentage variance, it is not material. And also to remind ourselves that National Treasury has set, various parameters, and in other language, they'll call it margin of errors, to say what is deemed to be material and what is deemed not to be material. And that rate is at 8%. We can move. So these are the details of our transfers. Our transfers comprise about 91% of our budget. And this slide excludes the skills development levy, because with that we appropriate monies to CETAS and NSF as we receive the funds. But this is money that comes from the voted funds, and we can see the biggest recipients of the transfers, that it was universities and also NSFAS and chairperson and members. And during our MTF discussion, we did discuss the issue between universities and NSFAS budget. Members will remember that last year and the other year, when NSFAS experienced a shortfall, some of the reprioritization was done by shifting funds from universities to NSFAS, which we believe assisted a lot to sustain the scheme for these years, but it's not sustainable going forward, because we acknowledge that if we continue to do the same, we will run a risk of eroding the quality of teaching and learning in universities for the benefit of students. So it's important that we strike a balance between the two, and really the student funding model will assist us to manage this risk, as it is aimed to leverage other sources of funding. So this is the analysis per quarter, is cumulative per quarter, showing different quarters and different areas of economic classification. We see compensation of employees from 21.9% in the first quarter until the 96.25 in the last quarter. And we see the same analysis also in other categories of spending. I won't go through that, because this is just an analysis we can pass. So this slide is quite important, and it relates to the comment that was made earlier on by the acting DG, Ms. Fuchan, to say when you look at the spending trend of the department, it really shows that, one, there is no fiscal dumping, because we normally see, particularly the departments that are transferring departments, it is a norm, not really a norm, maybe it's something that we see quite often, that most funds will be transferred in the last quarter, or some departments rather you will see almost every quarter where they transfer the same funding. We call it straight lining of the budget. But what this slide is showing us is that how we have transferred the money is really aligned to how our sector operates. It is a true reflection of the operation of our higher education sector. We will know that in the quarter one, normally institutions have pressures to receive money to cover some of the activities that they will have, some funded from their own, from the first quarters, from the previous quarter, January and March. And for them, it will have been the beginning of the financial year. So this light, it analyzes the correlation between those operation and the money itself. And then we can also see how the trend goes until the last quarter of the financial year. So we have seen, some increase, between the third quarter and the fourth quarter, particularly in goods and services, not necessarily in transfers, but in goods and services, because we have lots of national examinations during November and December for colleges, and particularly because then we incur some of those operational costs under our budget, and those expenses or invoices normally come during the last quarter of the financial year, and hence we've seen a significant increase in spending between moving from the third quarter to the last quarter. And then same as the machinery and equipment, which is mainly our CAPEX, our tools of trade. The spending here is really seasonal. It also depends on the stock availability, the delivery, etc., where we have seen some orders being delivered in the last quarter than what we have seen in the first quarter. And then lastly is the significant decrease. Sorry, I think I made a mistake earlier. I thought this was erroneously put as an increase. It's a significant decrease of the transfer and subsidies. And I think I have explained that earlier on, that we allocate funding for this first quarter, lots of it of transfers, mainly to universities and NSFAS, to make up for the first 3 months of the academic year. Thank you very much, Chairperson and members.
Anything else from you, Didi Chifuchane?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, recording
thanks
in
very
progress.
Much, Chair. We're grateful to have the opportunity. We're grateful to the honorable members, the deputy minister, the acting DG, DHET, and the colleagues from DHET, and all of the DSI colleagues. If you don't mind, Chair, I will then try and see if I can't share the presentation. And I hope you are able to see it.
Yes, everything is good on our side, DG.
Okay. So as usual, we will speak about the vision and mission, but we'll go through this very quickly, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Just to reiterate what the outcome goals are, the Minister has already indicated some of these, and then some achievements per each of